Have you ever been to a place where past, present, and future come together before you? Where you can reflect on the expanse of what has already swept by and ponder the volume of all that is to come? Have you ever stood at the brink of the neck of an hourglass, a place that throbs with the rhythm of life sweeping past as each past moment is abundantly replenished by the next? A place where you are able to declare, "Thus far has the Lord helped me." It is hard to walk away from that because those type places hold you fast. A waterfall is nature's hourglass. Stand at the brink of one and you will know.
I am fairly well now, I am strong, I am goodbye, I'm a long way from home. I am an orchard at the start of spring, I am a mockingbird, I love to sing, and I'm gonna fly, I'm gonna fly. I am an old road walking on my feet. I am laughing neath the weeping willow tree. I am a dog barking, a honeybee sting. I ain't no angel, but I've got my wings. I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna fly. And bones. I am a gunshot with a microphone. I'm a boy at the window as the summer sun sets. An old man in winter, nothing more, nothing less. I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna fly.
Well, there you are. Welcome to Redemption's Table. We just listened to one of my all-time favorite Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors songs, Fly, off of their Strangers No More album from 2023. I heard Drew say in concert last year that this song was his favorite on that album. So go give it a listen after we get up from today's table. And with that said, today's episode is one of my favorites of this year. It begins with a waterfall story. I don't know about you, but I love waterfalls. I have posted quite a few of them on our Redemption's Table YouTube channel. A waterfall is nature's hourglass. Stand at the brink of one, and you will know. It had been approximately 53 years since I stood at the top of Lower Falls of the Yellowstone River. Sometime around the 100th anniversary of Yellowstone, back in 1972, my parents took us on a vacation that included Yellowstone, the Grand Tetons, and Mount Rushmore. I have several memories of this trip with my parents, one of which was the brink of the Lower Falls Trail, a series of 9 steep switchbacks that could bring you right to the edge of the top of Lower Falls. It was awesome sharing that moment with my mom and dad 50 years ago, and it was still just as awesome last month. There is something about returning to a place you've been before that brings into focus the entirety of life in between the visits. It is an hourglass moment. That's the jam about getting out in the world and encountering the wild of nature, or even engaging with the image of God within the person sitting right across the table from you. You never know where God is going to make a surprise visit. You never know who or what He will use to become your teacher. He speaks through burning bushes, and He also speaks through falling rivers. Now, according to the National Park Service, depending on the time of year, anywhere between 5,000 to 60,000 gallons per second of water plunges 308 feet over Lower Falls of the Yellowstone River. So I did the math. How many drops of water are in a gallon? 15,140 drops of water. That's a conservative estimate. And 5,000 gallons are pouring over Lower Falls every second. 300,000 gallons per minute, 18 million gallons per hour. Well, that's 432 million gallons a day. That's 157,680,000,000 gallons a year. That's 8,357,040,000,000 gallons in 53 years. That's a conservative estimate of 5,000 gallons a second. Or that is 100,284,480,000,000 gallons in 53 years at 60,000 gallons a second. That's the maximum estimate. Now, why did I figure all of that up? That much water had poured over Lower Falls since my last visit. And what I've witnessed twice now at the brink of Lower Falls is not even a drop in the bucket of all the water that has fallen into the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone since Lower Falls was created. These falls have been cascading their abundance long before any of us arrived on the planet, and they will be gushing forth long after we're gone until either the Yellowstone caldera erupts or Jesus returns, whichever comes first. Have you ever been to a place where past, present, and future come together before you? Where you can reflect on the expanse of what has already swept by and ponder the volume of all that is to come? Have you ever stood at the brink of the neck of an hourglass? Where would that place be in your life? Where could that place be in your life? It might be better to be surprised by God than anticipate what you think God is going to show you next and where. God knows the best hour to bring you to your hourglass, and perhaps He has already done so at several junctures in your journey. This raises the importance for each of us to be aware of our days, to be aware of our hours dropping through the hourglass. In Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses prayed, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." King David borrowed a portion of Moses' prayer in Psalm 39, verse 4, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." For me, standing at the hourglass at the brink of Lower Falls spoke volumes. And whenever and wherever God's Holy Spirit catches your attention has the same potential for you. Jesus said it many times to the disciples in the crowds, "He or she who has ears to hear, let them hear what God is saying." What do hourglass places have to teach us? I've had 40 plus days to reflect on my return to the Lower Falls of the Yellowstone, and thus far, here are the Spirit's three deepest impressions from that return. Number one, there is no sense of hoarding here. When you are standing next to a rapidly flowing river with 5,000 to 60,000 gallons passing before your eyes every second, there is no sense of hoarding here. And when you are not standing beside a rapidly flowing river and life is going on around you per second, per minute, per hour, per day, per week, per month, per year, per decade, per score, per almost century, there should be no sense of hoarding there either. Standing on the neck of that river, in that moment, it was evident. Abundant supply replaces abundant supply. This place throbs with the rhythm of life sweeping past, as each past moment is abundantly replenished by the next. Place your hand upon your heart. The same throbbing of the Yellowstone courses through your veins. Life itself is good. Life is better after you have tasted the living water. That's how Jesus identifies himself, living water. And again, standing at the top of Lower Falls, I was witnessing living water now, living water now, living water now. There's so much living water now. Do we ever have a chance to miss what just passed? There is no FOMO here. This is like living on the precipice of everything. It brings you to brevity and eternity in the splash of an eye. There is more to come, always abundantly more to come. Deep impression number two. The hourglass tethers you to the now. It's mesmerizing watching the moments sweep by in waves. You don't want to walk away from this type of grounding. It draws you in. The past has swept away down the canyon. The future is plummeting over the upper falls upstream, or else it is rising from the reservoir of springs deep within the earth. It is coming, but it is not here yet. All that is here is the now. Next month, many will celebrate the 200th birth of Scottish author and pastor George MacDonald. The great C.S. Lewis said everything he wrote was influenced by MacDonald. MacDonald wrote, "The bliss of the animals lies in this, that on their lower level they shadow the bliss of those few at any moment on the earth who do not look before and after and pine for what is not, but live in the holy carelessness of the eternal now." American folk band Judah and the Lion sing a song called "Be Here Now." The chorus of the song expresses the perpetual dilemma of many of us. Our yesterdays are gone and they ain't coming back around. Tomorrow comes when it comes. You ain't got to hunt it down. And maybe the hardest part is understanding how to be here now. There is no sense of hoarding in the neck of an hourglass because the hourglass tethers you to the ever-present now. And that brings me to deep impression number three. Take note of the places that hold you. Take note of the places that hold you. Take note of the hourglasses you are drawn to. Today's episode is not so much about my hourglass experience on the Yellowstone as it is in encouraging you to be on the lookout for your own. And a huge clue to finding those hourglass moments in your life is in noticing the places that hold you, the places you come upon where you catch yourself wanting to linger for as long as you possibly can. You don't want to walk away just yet. You are so drawn into the power of the now. And I think I know the appeal of such hourglass moments. As you are physically held in wonder, you are also spiritually held close to the heart of the Creator who made them. And your heart recognizes this. These hourglass moments are practice for what is to come when the hourglass darkly shatters once and for all, and we are all ushered into the presence of God. For you see, the now is the doorway into the eternal. In Luke 17, 20 through 21, some religious leaders asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. Jesus replied, "God's kingdom does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Hourglass moments that cause our hearts to beat wild with life is really Jesus knocking on the door. Well, thanks for coming to Redemption's Table today. We would love to hear about your hourglass moments. Drop a comment on today's episode on Instagram, Facebook, or redemptionstable.com. Until next time, go find your brink and see where God leads you.
I'm going to fly. I am moving, I am flesh and bones. I am a gunshot with a microphone. I'm a boy at the window as the summer sun sets. An old man in winter, nothing more, nothing less. I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna fly.